Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, number 73, for January 18th, 2008. Macworld Wrap-Up. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. And by iStock Photo. Save 20% off your first purchase by visiting iStockPhoto.com/TwitStock. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 72. We're going to wrap up what's been an amazing Macworld Expo. And on the panel, once again, we've got the usual suspects. Starting on my left, your right. We are on the show floor at Macworld Expo, by the way. Mr. Merlin Mann. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Hello, Leo. How are you this afternoon?
43folders.com. And next to him, ladies and gentlemen, the bouffant of all Mac knowledge, it is Chris Breen.
Hello.
The guy who gave you that name, the Macalope, is here somewhere.
Really?
Did you see the Lope?
I met the Lope earlier. He had gotten entangled in some wires.
Yeah.
And I was
well,
able
those
to,
antlers.
Yeah. I was able to help him out, and now he owes me a wish.
That's good. If you could see the Macalope and you can pet him, you get a wish. So he's here, and we were trying to figure out how to get him on stage without revealing his persona. We haven't figured that out yet. Macalope, if you're here, oh, look, here comes Andy Iannacco strolling up the aisle. are we out of microphones? We're out of good microphones. So I have to give Andy a bad one.
Just come on in anytime.
So as I was saying, the buffon of all knowledge, Chris Breen of Macworld Magazine. I did it again.
It used to be Mac User.
It used to be Mac User. Now Macworld Magazine.
Who is it?
And
Mac Week too, yeah.
He's been giving lessons in how to hack your iPhone all week.
We've been
your
doing
touch.
A lot of iPhone stuff, yeah.
And that's cool. The jailbreak.
It is cool. Yeah, Leo had updated his phone to 113. And I
can't do it because I updated, right?
Yeah, and it's too bad. But you're out of luck. However, Apple gives you these couple
I don't want to do anything to my iPhone. Having had the experience now of bricking, I don't want to do anything to my iPhone that's going to keep me from taking the next Apple Rev.
Right. However, some people have found that when they have tried to update their iPhone, there is a scary moment. I believe that Andy had one of these scary moments just the other day.
Andy Iannacco, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Chicago Sun-Times.
Thank you. I had one of those moments when you realize that at this very day you are not counted amongst God's most beloved, where I applied the update. I was giving a talk promoting my iPhone book, so I was going to be needing my iPhone. All my appointments were also for the day on my iPhone. I applied the update in the morning, verified that it had taken, verified that the patch worked, that everything was working as it should. Then and only then did I turn it off and leave my hotel. Then I jumped in a cab, flicked on my iPhone to find out when my next appointment was, to find that I was being invited to connect a USB connector into a planet.
Oh, no.
So all that it needed to do was, again, connect back into iTunes to re-verify my account with iTunes. But
okay.
I would like to think that it would say, Andy, don't leave the hotel room just yet because there's still stuff left to do. I felt as though I had been lied to and deceived.
I just love it that when you press and hold an icon,
you get to dance.
The icons jiggle, keep jiggling. Like, until you press home. They just go, jiggle, 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 jiggle. Scott Bourne, do you like that feature? Is that something you enjoy? You're wearing a perfect shirt for it.
Actually,
I
have to say that I was the model for that.
Jiggle, 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 jiggle.
See? Here we go.
I was talking to him.
Here we go.
Let's see. Oh, no.
I don't need
this. This is why we don't do video, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God, the humanity.
And now you see why I have a career in radio.
MacBreak Weekly, we've got midsections made for radio.
I have a friend who's in his 70s, and he didn't realize that he'd got it jiggling, and he thought his eyesight was going. He said, oh, my God, it started, because it kind of looks like that.
It's in Keith Moon mode.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's a cool feature. It's kind of neat.
It is. You got to give him some credit. There could be other things it was doing. The dance is kind of cool. Also here, Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Corps.
Hello.
That's his usual greeting. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Alex must be the most exhausted man here. You have been keeping this podcast studio going for like round the clock for 5 days, 4 days.
It seemed like a really good idea when I thought it up.
You know, that was my... It seemed like a really good idea when I agreed to do it.
it's been really fun. I have to admit that this corner is all I've seen of Macworld. But
you haven't been to the floor?
No, I keep on thinking I was going to get to the floor, and then there'd be something else that needed to get sorted out and something else that needed to get sorted out.
My daughter Abby's here, and we went over to see the MacBook Air. And Abby, where are you? Did you want it? Do you want it? No.
I'll take hers. Thanks, Uncle Leo.
Yeah, after thinking about it, playing with it, and looking at it, it's beautiful. Seems pricey, underpowered, and mostly I'm afraid I'm going to sit on it.
2 gigs of RAM that you cannot add to.
Yeah.
No way to update the battery yourself.
You have to, it's $129 I found out,
right,
to do the Apple
I priced
battery
it out, but with all the things that most of us would actually want, because you end up using all kinds, like a dongle optical drive, a dongle Ethernet port, a blah, blah. It's around $2,400 after tax. And that's roughly twice the price of a MacBook that's got stuff the Air doesn't.
Okay, but let's defend at least Apple's logic. When I had my briefing with Apple, yes, I questioned, gee, how come there's no Ethernet? I've never seen a laptop without Ethernet. Never seen a laptop without this, that, the other. They don't say that they did this because they wanted to make it smaller or because they wanted to reduce the price point or increase the profit. The answer to all those questions is always, we have a firm picture in our minds of the sort of person who wants to buy this, and to them, they don't really need wired Ethernet all that much. Well, and I have to frankly say, I have two PowerBooks with me, a MacBook and my older PowerBook. One of the reasons why the PowerBook is the older PowerBook is that, you know, the disk drive doesn't work anymore. I have been living without an optical drive for the past like year, and frankly, I haven't really missed it. Even when I had to install iWork off of CD onto it, I simply used a different machine to make a disk image of it.
Andy, you can get a more... But what about Scott's point? You can get a more powerful computer for half the price.
That's sometimes a more powerful computer means that the computer can count to 1 million instead of 100,000 between your keystrokes.
All right.
You know, show me power they actually use.
Merlin, man, who is the MacBook Air designed for?
It's for a very, very rich man who wants a fourth computer.
Scott Bourne, then, I think.
This is the perfect machine to sit and surf Wikipedia while you're watching TV.
Yeah.
That's it. And I mean, I think I said this last time. I don't remember. I haven't slept much. But it seems to me that this would be...
Turn him up. We need more Merlin.
Robble, robble, robble. It seems to me that this is hard to open in coach when the person in front of you is fully reclined.
Every laptop's hard to open in
not
coach.
Not the 12-inch, Leo. Not the 12-inch.
Oh, he's still holding out for his 12-inch.
Here's the thing. I buy everything, right, Leo?
Yeah.
I'm not buying this.
Yeah, I'm not. Same with me. I can't. Are you buying one, Andy?
I'm certainly not going to buy one because I have a MacBook that works perfectly fine, but I could certainly see somebody for whom, if there are a lot of people for whom that slimness is actually a big feature. The MacBook is not as easy to carry around outside of a
if
bag.
If you look at the stage here, slimness is not a feature.
No.
But I'm waiting for the MacBook Fat.
Yeah.
That is my
baby
computer.
Hey, hey, hey!
I like to call it the tough book. So, I can imagine. I can see Paris Hilton walking around with her little Air. I can see Brittany using it.
Yeah, but it's covered with all crappy rhinestones.
No, but that's
got some videos on it.
It's a purse notebook. Let's face it. It's a purse computer.
Yeah, but it's too big for that.
Oh.
It's
well, it's
thin.
A Manila. All right, show of hands. Here we got about 250 people in the audience. How many of you have ordered a MacBook Air? You, sir, are the richest man in the building. How many of you think you might in the next month? A few more.
How many of you would pay the same amount of money for an Intel version of the 12-inch PowerBook?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what people want, the 12-inch.
And we have a winner.
The 12-inch PowerBook is one of the few Macintoshes that I actually hated.
Oh, geez, here we go.
It's of no use.
Andy and
I don't have a 12-inch lap.
It's like, it's
why
like,
do I want a 12-inch PowerBook?
It's like the Honeymooners. It's like the first two Big Star records. It was not appreciated properly during its time. And we are finally realizing how good it is now that it's gone and you're crazy.
12-inch Mac, we hardly knew ye.
If I could have heard what you said, I'd have a really witty rejoinder.
I said, robble, robble, robble.
He said, you are so right, Andy. I agree with every word you said.
God bless you, Merlin.
Typically,
man,
when you were finished talking, I found that I agreed
with
you.
Now, on our last episode, we didn't talk about one item, one new product. The capsule. What is that? The time capsule.
And you know what?
What?
Nobody else is talking about it either.
Oh. Well, maybe that's the problem.
Oh, they're talking about it. They're talking about how Steve Jobs personally walked up to you and kicked you in the butt and made fun of you for having bought the previous space station, is what people are saying. I've never seen so many people take a product announcement so personally before.
Really? Now, is it? But it's more expensive than an Airport Extreme.
It's certainly more expensive.
How much is the time capsule? 500 megabytes was $299?
Yeah.
500 gigabytes, actually.
500 gigabytes, right, obviously.
Yeah, 1 terabyte was $499.
$499.
That seems like not an unreasonable amount. And it's a full base station, too, right? I mean, it's not...
Yeah. Right. I'm not saying it's a bad product. I'm just saying I've noticed a complete lack of coverage in the Mac press. They're talking about everything but that device. Can we do it quick? Does anybody care about that out there?
I care about it,
but we're not hearing about it.
Well, one thing that I'm curious about is what is the expandability? And I didn't get that from the keynote of, can we add more drives? I mean, I know the terabyte seems like a lot to a lot of people. It's not a lot to me. And I'm worried about, can I add more? That's what I want to be able to add on top or below.
No. I mean, it seems to me that they've taken what was basically a flawed technology, which was AirDisk, which was supposed to be part of Leopard, didn't happen.
Right.
And then they added a hard drive and said,
now it works.
But look at this. Now it works. And all we had to do was add a hard drive and charge you for another device.
A terabyte network-attached storage device is going to cost you $800 or $900.
Right.
So it's much more expensive. Now, on the other hand, it's RAID 5, so it's got redundancy. It's going to be more reliable. But, I mean, I think $499 for a terabyte, that's not a bad price. And you're getting a backup, and it's using Time Machine.
It's a good price. Yes.
I think it's a good price.
Okay, now what happens when the hard drive craps out?
Well, that's your backup.
Yeah, right. How do you rotate off site with that?
Oh, come on, you guys. I think it's a good product. I'm asking hard questions.
I know. I'm very interested in it. But
it's the same problem you'd have with any other backup device. If you want to do it off-site, you use Mozy.com or you use iDisk. You have other solutions. But this is your Time Machine hard drive.
But you can use Drobo with Time Machine, too.
I use Drobo.
That's what I'm going to buy.
Yeah, I use Drobo. Drobo's pricey, though. Drobo's $4.99 without any drives.
I understand, but I can add drives to it, and I can swap drives from it. I did that.
In fact, I have 2 terabytes in my Drobo now because I put 500 gigabyte drives in there. Drobo's noisy as hell, though. I got to warn you.
Okay.
Sounds like Drobo's taking off when you're backing up. It's quiet when it's not, but it...
We'll keep it out of the studio.
Yeah, that's what you do. You just do... Has anybody played with it? Is it noisy? Do we know this time capsule? Do we know anything about it? Has anybody met it? Has anybody taken...
I've held one in touch when it wasn't powered up.
Yeah. Huh?
There was one there at the briefing. I held it. I touched it. I called it George, but it was not powered up.
How big is it? As big as the Airport Extreme?
It's your basic kitchenette hot plate size device.
Yeah, it's an Airport Extreme with a drive in it.
Exactly. And once again, you get back to Apple saying the exact same thing. I wanted to know, is it just for Time Machine backups, or can I use it as standard network storage?
Oh, that's a good question.
Can I host my iTunes library on it? And they said explicitly, yes, it just appears in the Finder as a standard drive. You can use it for whatever you want. But, and again, we get to that line again, that we feel as though we understand the sort of person who's going to buy this, and we think the most people who are going to buy this are people who just want a magical box on the network that handles all the network. On that basis, it's a great product.
I think there's people who should do that. My mom, I think that's a good idea.
Well, it's nice. I'll tell you what. Okay, so let's... I don't like to go down this route into the whole, like, these notional idiot parents people always talk about, or idiot grandparents.
But my parent is an idiot.
That's true. Mine are, too.
My daughter's from Ohio. I know about that idiot. Yeah, that's my dad.
But what is that? So, I mean, like, the thing is, if you really want to trick something out, you could go out and you could... Like, I've got a Ready NAS that I like a lot for doing network backup stuff. And if you want to really trick out a router, you'll get an old, like, Linksys.
That's a different market.
I think that's a different market. I think what you're describing, Time Machine, is something I've had a little bit of a hard time getting my head around.
I don't
around.
Like Time Machine now.
You know
I
what I'm
say.
Using Time Machine? I'm using Me Time neither. Machine for, like, if preferences get corrupted, it's easy to roll back and stuff like that.
I run ChronoSync backing up to the Drobo, and that, I don't want to do Time Machine.
I'm running RSync on 2 drives
exactly.
that I rotate.
Smarter, better, faster. Time Machine is overkill, if you ask me.
Believe it or not, I feel that the backup utility you get for free with .Mac The problems I had with my hard drive crash on Monday, I probably would not have been quite as deeply in the soup if I were using that free program for backup, because it makes it very, very easy to say, oh, you know, this subset of files, put it on my .mac at the same time, and please make sure you do that every night. I love SuperDuper. SuperDuper is, I think, the greatest backup program
I heard
ever.
Somebody told me SuperDuper, when it comes out, is going to be Leopard compatible, is going to be Time Machine compatible, and is going to make a bootable Time Machine backup. Somebody told me that. Now, that's a product, isn't it? That's the real problem with Time Machine. You can't boot.
Yeah. I go out to dinner with the
president. Well, you know better than I.
And they've been trying to get that version out the door. They have real... so much so that when I asked for screenshots of the next version to put in my Leopard book, they said, we're doing so much work on this that we can't even show you an alpha at this point. There's a lot of work that's being done, but we want to really kick some butt with this release.
Good.
So they're not showing it to me yet, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. I think the network storage, where the local network storage or to .mac or some other random remote backup, that really has to be part of any backup regime, and I will lay my fealty to anyone who comes up with a great backup system that allows me to just as transparently put something on box.net or .mac.
Right.
I mean, or
S3. Now, there's Jungle
Disk. Amazon. Right.
Have you tried Jungle Disk? Because that's pretty cool.
I have not tried Jungle Disk
yet. That's an inexpensive program that will use S3 as a web... It turns S3 into a web dev device, so then you could use anything to back up to it.
Right.
I think that's a really neat program. You should take a look at that.
I finally went to Costco and just bought two. I followed the JW. If y'all see on his live journal, JWZ had a great piece of advice on how to do backup.
Yeah,
basically go out and buy two. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's
go out and buy two hard drives that are identical to the hard drive that's in your Mac for the day when your hard drive dies. And he has this basic one line of rsync that will every day will do diffs and do the backup for you without you having to think about it. You run that as a cron job, you never see it.
And it's bootable, right?
It's totally bootable.
Yeah.
You could do this with SuperDuper. I worry, it freaks
not
me out a little
Leopard,
bit.
You can't, though, right? That's the problem, is it doesn't work with Leopard now, right?
I think SuperDuper is not totally Leopard-friendly.
Yeah. No, it's Tiger.
But I mean, here's what the thing is. Backup, you know, we go over this probably about every quarter, but I think the thing to remember with backup is if it's not, there's two things. In order for backup to be real, it has to be completely automated, and you can laugh about it, but you've also got to have offsite rotation or your backup is worthless because something will go wrong with what you've got there.
Again, that's the reason why I don't have my backup drive with me. The idea of traveling with the same...
It's like letting the vice president fly with the president.
Exactly the same thing. You just don't do that.
Maybe we should do more of that.
Just remember the no file.
I didn't say that.
I love this country. I am shocked and offended, Mr. Scott Bourne, who is the one who said that and not me, Andy Anatko.
Hey, if Randy Newman can do a song, I can do a joke.
He's got an Oscar.
There's America.
He's untouchable.
Talking about the president.
So what did we? What else did we see outside of these things that were really that stood out this week?
I'm gonna throw my lot in with the Mac Speech people, who make iDictate.
I wanted to see that.
It's good.
It works.
Yeah, it works really well.
It worked.
Okay, tell us about a lot of people in the audience are loving this. Tell us about this.
It's using the Dragon Naturally Speaking engine.
Which has always been the best engine.
Always the best.
They
abandoned the gold standard.
Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is not Dragon Naturally Speaking for the Mac. They're just using their engine. It's their technology on top of this thing. And it works. I mean, finally, you know, you go and see the demo of this thing and knowing the history of the company, you try to find a polite way to say, you know, what you're doing before was terrible compared to this. But now that they have this coming out, you can say, this actually works. In the past, when people would write into Mac 911 and say, look, I really need to do speech dictation on my Mac.
Yep.
How do I do it? Well, you get a PC. And now, or you run boot camp and you do this thing, or you do some convoluted thing through either Fusion or right. Parallels, and now you don't have to. This works so nicely.
And I think I think it's $199.
Oh, here's the trick. Go down and buy a copy of iListen now, which is like going on sale for like $29 or $49.
That's the earlier product.
As long as you buy if you bought iListen with, and this is the product manager told me this. He said, if you buy this within 2008 and you wait for iDictate to come out, it's like a $29 or $49 upgrade. So you're going to save like $100.
You've all learned something here today.
But notice that it is only for Intel Mac. So if you have a PowerPC Mac, you're out of luck. But iListen will work on a PowerPC Mac, but it's not as good.
One of the things, I think this is actually, it could be better than actually having Dragon software on the Mac. Because what you have is someone using their engine but able to develop it and customize it for the Mac. It's not like, oh, we have a program that has to run on a Mac and a PC, so we can't do this and we can't do that. It really is something that's running on the Mac. It doesn't have to run on something else. In fact, it probably will never run on something else from that point of view. And it's and I think it's I was really excited. That's the one thing I saw, because I saw it before the show started. I got to take a look at it, and it was fantastic. I mean,
And they're using a ton of Apple's APIs under there, so they're using a lot of the assistive devices stuff. So, no, it can't run on anything else. So this really is, except for the engine, this is really a Mac-only kind of product. And
stuff. I wish I'd gone over and looked at it. Some mechanical questions. So can I be sitting in Microsoft Word, for instance, and use its engine, and it will put the words into Word?
Yeah, and then you can switch applications. So you can be in, say you're in TextEdit, or you're in, you know, BB Edit, or
it'll
something
work
like
in
that.
Anything.
Yeah, and you can dictate, and then you can say, copy, open Microsoft Word, paste, you can issue formatting commands, you can issue anything that's in the menu can be issued as a command.
Now, we got a guy in the audience who's apparently a big fan. He says 5-minute setup. He said it was very quick to set
5 minutes to train.
Did you try it? Has anybody actually tried it? And like, because the problem with these is they demo great.
Yeah, that's true. But I've actually used Dragon, naturally speaking, on the PC,
Dragon's
the latest version.
Good.
And
yeah.
That doesn't take much training either. Yeah. So,
Leo, I hate to say this, but apparently Mr. Inako is bored. He's set up his iPhone and is watching a movie here while we're discussing
this. Oh, now that's ridiculous. He's got a GorillaPod, and he's watching the Mikado. What are you doing?
It's not the Mikado. It's the celestial Diana Dabrow as the queen of the night. It dies up. That's not for Pluty.
You're watching opera?
Of course.
He is watching opera.
This is nothing but culture.
On
culture,
his iPhone.
Baby. Culture.
Now, I want to know how you got that GorillaPod to hold the iPhone like
I want to. There are lots of really cool little things. This is probably my favorite thing I've gotten at the show so far. The GorillaPod is this really cool three-legged tripod that works like a regular tripod, but the individual legs, if you can imagine, are like an alien finger with like 5 tight knuckles on it, so that you can like put it on your tabletop like a regular tripod. But if you've got like a bar or like a stand like that, you can actually bend these legs around to wrap around and grab it from any angle. And so they've had these GorillaPods for a long time now. They added a very, very simple change to it, though. They made the head of it modular. It used to just end in the regular sort of screw jack that you'd put into the bottom of any camera. Now you can take that off. You can put on a suction cup, so it will hold on to your iPod just like this. So I am so looking forward to my flight home. I finally have something that I can put it on my tray table, adjust it to any angle. I can wrap it around the headrest in front of me, wrap it around something in the overhead compartment, and have it bending down into any angle. This is just, it's such a simple, stupid thing, but it is giving me a great deal of joy. I don't do dictation. I have never, I really respect the technology. I know what a breakthrough it is, but I'm not the sort of person who can say, I don't like reading my own stuff, much less having to speak it aloud.
Yeah, but so put a suction cup on a tripod, he gets all excited.
Hey, man, if you were watching Diana Damrow as the queen of the night, you'd be getting excited too.
Ooh,
so this is probably when we're all on Skype. We're all, you know, we're actively engaged in deep conversation about the Macintosh
universe. And we now know what he's doing.
And we now know what Inako is doing in Boston.
And nobody would have known about it unless you blew it by telling everybody about it.
All this time I thought Dunce Cap Studio was just a studio, little did I know.
It's a whole wing under my broadcast center. It is.
Any other finds at Macworld Expo that people want to share? I'm not going to ask you, Alex. You haven't left the booth all day.
Yeah, there's this really good booth with green screen, and that's the only other booth I saw. So,
what, Alex? What is your review of the concession stand in the back there? I bet you know all about how what they're doing well, what they're not doing well.
Well, I have to say that the tea is very expensive.
Hey, I want to talk.
Unlike
about,
the
I
wanna, other items here,
I want to talk about a deal I found.
A deal, sir, Scott Bourne.
If you've got an iPhone, and of course I've got a couple of them, maybe more.
He's got a vest made of iPhones, ladies and gentlemen.
Bandolier, like a bandito.
There's a booth over in the other hall, a company called Zag, and they make a product called Invisible Shield. And if you've got any kind of case on your iPhone, and you walk over there, they're going to ask you, would you like to go naked? Now, they didn't ask me that for obvious reasons. But if you would like to donate your case, what they will do is hand you a free Invisible Shield on the spot.
Oh, that's nice.
So if you got a case, now for those of us that are speakers here, we got like 6 free cases. So
I think 106 cases.
Yeah, so you can just take one of those free cases there, and they'll put a free thing. And I got to tell you, here's a true story. at Christmas time, I have a relative who's developmentally disabled who thought it might be a great idea to take a key and try to gouge all the way diagonally across my iPhone face. And successfully put a pretty nice gouge in the invisible shield. Upon removing the invisible shield, not one scratch.
You're kidding.
Not one scratch.
That's a that's a testimony.
So
that's the sweetest Christmas story I've ever heard.
Isn't that touching?
It's the way my family works.
And that's what Christmas means.
But anyway,
look forward to turning.
What do I have to do to get invited?
I'm not telling you to buy one. I'm telling you you can get a free one because I had to kind of piggyback on Chris's. Chris had to deal with his thing. So
I love these fine art. Did you see these fine art covers that they had? They're beautiful.
Yeah, so that's a different company.
It's a different company. Yeah. What was the name of the company, Abby? I can't. Gelskins, yeah. Was that it?
Gelskins.
There you go. Look at those. They're just beautiful, and a lot of people got them.
Oh, yeah, those are in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Wait a minute. One kid up front has
got...
Can we ask that young man? That's my friend Grant. Can he come up here and maybe show that to us?
Could you
come up and show
Greg
us?
Greg's also got something on his forehead. I don't know what that is.
Well, that's the other good deal, Lynda.com.
Oh, Lynda.com.
Yeah, it's a Lynda.com
sticker. Mac Wednesday?
So, Greg, show us your gel skins.
Lovely.
Well, the Girls Gone Geek thing just came up before you were here, and we are sitting there waiting for you guys to come up, and I was there. They are giving out prizes, and I got this.
So he won this from the Girls Gone Geek.
All right.
Hey, give him a hand. They're all there in the front row, by the way, ladies
and gentlemen.
The
Girls Gone Geek?
Yeah, the Girls Gone Geek. Hi, girls. GirlsGoneGeek.tv. We got that one for Abby, but I look. If you go in the back, they have like this Mario. That's like this surreal Mario. He's got a black eye and a jail number in front of him. It's like Mario in jail. There's this. It's great art. It's beautiful, and it would go on your laptop or your phone or your iPod Touch. I think they're really. I thought it was one of my favorite things at the show.
Can I ask Grant? Grant, what was your what's your favorite thing you saw today?
I don't really know. There are so many really cool things. I liked the invisible shield. I liked the iRecord thing.
iRecord, what's that? Tell us about that.
It was this little box that you hook up to like a DVD player or something, and then you plug in your USB device. It doesn't currently work the iPhone, but it works with your iPod or PSP, stuff like that, and it will convert whatever's playing on that DVD player straight to your USB device.
So it puts it right on the iPod.
Yeah, and it's not like Handbrake where it takes so long. And
it's pretty quick?
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
How old are you?
Handbrake? You've been using Handbrake already?
Which codec is it using?
Yeah, black patch over your eyes.
I think he's going to be on a laptop wearing a number MP4. Pretty soon.
MP4, very good, very good. Now, what kind of bitrate are you getting with that?
I have no clue.
Kid, just make up a number like
we
do.
It doesn't matter.
They'll buy it.
Say 256 bit per second bit rate.
256 bit per second bit rate?
Holy cats, that's impressive.
That's really
that's amazing.
Fast. That's a heck of a bit rate.
Wow, iRecord. See? He should be on this show. How do you know?
However,
this
it's a very lossy algorithm.
It's a lossy algorithm?
Oh, okay, well, then I don't know.
Well, there you go.
You'll go far, kid.
So, Grant, how old are you?
10.
Ten.
I'm actually not from San Francisco. I'm from Seattle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have a house in Gig Harbor.
Cool.
And by the way, I have shoes older than you, too.
Cool.
And he has a Ferris wheel.
Go ahead. I'll let you do the joke.
No, I did it.
A Ferris wheel and a pony ride,
Yes. Come to my house in Gig Harbor. He's been trying to get us all to go there, Greg. I would stay away, well away.
Yeah, Leo, I knew what you were talking about with the jiggly icons because I just upgraded last night.
Isn't that
night.
Funny?
Yeah. Wow. So
all right, everybody, jiggle.
I do this. Jiggly icons.
Ooh, yeah. Greg's jiggly icons. I thought you were waving at me. 5 minutes? Is Dane Golden in the audience? Is Dane, are you here? Because he's got the ad copy that I need to read. Oh, great. He stole my ad copy. Dane, anywhere? Huh? Yeah, well, we got to do an Audible spot. We also have to do an iStock photo spot, and he has my ad copy.
Oh, wait a minute. Here comes PodTrack to the rescue.
Oh, good. Here comes Mr. Mark McCrary, who is represents all the Twit podcasts, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, Twit wouldn't exist if it weren't for Mark McCrary.
We bring our own ad guys to every show.
Working his buns off getting those ad sales, and he's the guy who brought an iStock photo. What is it, Mark?
It's 20% off.
20% off. All right. He's also bringing us a better deal. Now, you do know about iStock Photo. I first found out about iStock Photo when I was using Vox, the blogging platform, and you could start adding pictures to your blogs from iStock Photo's stock photos. And I really think if you're doing a blog, having an image in there really makes a big difference. iStock Photo is the world's highest volume image market, both for people who need images, designers, bloggers, managers looking for great images, not just images, video too on a budget, but also for photographers or video artists who want to share their work and they're looking for a community and getting paid. Did you know that buyers download an image from iStock Photo every 1.4 seconds? iStock Photo is an amazing marketplace with great image quality, more than 2.5 million images, 60,000 videos, and there are 30,000 more added every week. So if you're a photographer and you've thought about doing stock photos, this is the way to go. It is a profitable social network. You get paid. There's a great revenue share. You make up to 40% from every image that you put up on the website. In fact, there are people who make a living off iStock Photo, do very well on iStock Photo. If you want to find out more about iStock Photo, if you either want to get an image or you want to find out more about putting your images up there, may I suggest a visit to iStockPhoto.com/twitstock. We've created a special page, iStockPhoto.com/twitstock. And if you register there using the promo code twitstock, 20% off your first purchase, which could sound like a lot, but if you're going to do that, buy a bunch of images because the images actually are as low as a dollar. For web use, video clips as low as $10. So buy a bunch so that you'll get more out of your 20%.
And I have to say, when we do for our podcast, I mean, for some of the opens for our podcast,
so helpful.
For almost everything that we do, the first place we look for content is iStock Photo. So it is a great resource that we actually use over and over and over again.
Because you know we're cheap. I use the crap out of iStock Photo.
Do you?
I had
on your
a
blog or what?
I
or presentations.
I did a presentation yesterday that I was able to finish creating yesterday, and I spent from 4 a.m. until about 11 o'clock yesterday. I was on iStock Photo almost the whole time.
You're kidding.
My tip to you is to do this. If you do a lot of stuff with iStock Photo, create light boxes for all of your different projects. And whenever you're surfing around on the site and you find stuff you like, even if you don't need it yet,
cool. Just
park it somewhere so you'll get it later. And you end up saving time. iStock Photo, I'm not compensated, but I really do like it.
You are compensated. Eh?
Am
it's
I?
Productivity. iStockPhoto.com/twitstock. And we thank them for their support. They made MacBreak Weekly possible this week at Macworld Expo. So we thank them very much for their support. And thank you, Mark McCrary, for this fine PC laptop. We'll be burning this a little later on the show. Acer, huh? You like that? Looks like Windows XP.
It's called a Macworld, Mark. Macworld.
I got one, Leo.
It's my, yes, sir.
Now, I know about every month or so, one of us chooses 1Password as our application of the week. I really like 1Password a lot, and I'm kind of covering something that will also be on MacBreak Video, but I want to share something that's kind of cool. They're adding, so you've got your iPhone, right?
Yeah.
You got your 1Password account on your Mac. You've got your 28-character mixed case symbols plus numbers password. And if you're like me and you're holding an 11-week-old child while you try to enter your 28-character password.
You can't do it.
The good news is that they're now announcing, I thought this was really cool, they're going to have a service where they will actually host your files for you over HTTPS. You get a JavaScript that is going to enable you to, while you're on a site, click a button. It's going to go out and securely grab your passwords per site and enter it in on your iPhone, and it all gets synced up without having to worry about it.
They're really doing a great job.
Which is, I mean, and if you start using this app, you get out of that stupid habit of always using the same passwords, your hamburger helper passwords. This will help you generate a ridiculously complicated password and then remember it for you. I think it's a terrific product. They're good people, and having the ability to deal on an iPhone is just huge for me.
Let's hear from the audience. You shout it out. What was your pick? Anything that you saw, shout it out. What is it? Nito? Beano. What is Beano?
I think Beano helps you.
Yeah, that's it.
I've used Beano extensively
in the past. That's a digestive product, I believe.
You eat that before you go to Mexican.
Oh, bento. Not Beano, bento.
Oh, they do different things with food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bento is the new FileMaker program. It's really just a simple database. I was very impressed. It immediately picks up iCal.
It's very iWorky.
Yeah, and I thought you might like it, Merlin, because it does look like a kind of organizational tool.
Yeah, I haven't spent much time with it. We got one in our speaker bag that Scott keeps talking about. And it looks like a really neat kind of, like, it's the what the database for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Very simple.
I like that.
I used to be a huge FileMaker Pro fan back in the day.
Oh, God, I used FileMaker Pro all the time.
I've made some really unpleasant-looking databases with FileMaker Pro.
Lime green, gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness. Very complicated.
Chris Breen, you look like you got something on your mind. You got something you want to pick?
Just my hair.
Just that's normal.
Just my hair, yeah.
Any other picks? Let's hear it. Shout it out. Apple TV. Everybody likes the new Apple TV, too. Are we happy about that? That's great. I want to see that. I really want to see that take off because
I mean,
love
honestly,
my Apple TV.
It's just the same Apple TV.
But better.
But better. Just a software update.
Yeah, which is great. Free software
free
upgrade.
Free software.
You can't
when
say
is,
no to
when
that.
When does that happen? Is that they
2 weeks.
A couple
2 weeks.
2 weeks? Because I tried it last night.
I know. I've been sitting there reloading.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Update.
The best compliment you can give it is that so many people who bought like some sort of brand new HD hardware who unplugged their Apple TV to make room for it might finally, after 5 or 6 months, plug their Apple TVs back in.
Right.
That's excitement.
Andy, besides watching bad Italian opera on your iPhone...
Oh, my God. It's Diana Domrau, for God's sake. Are you a man or are you not a man?
I don't know. I don't watch opera on my iPhone. Do you have any Audible books on there that you'd like to recommend? Anything you've been listening to lately? What are you listening to now?
Right. I don't have any Audible picks. I'm going to say go to Amazon.com, do a search for Diana Domrau, D-I-A-N-A-D-A-M-R-A-U.
How
the
wrong.
BBC, the Royal Opera House production of The Magic Flute. It will change your entire attitude towards opera.
That's a good opera.
I got one. Leo.
Scott saw a production of The Magic Flute recently, didn't
That
he?
Was a
no,
different
no.
one.
Okay.
No. Ixnay on the Outflay.
I have a pick.
My daughter's in the audience. Yes, sir.
I have a pick.
Yes, sir.
I have a pick.
You have a pick.
I downloaded a great science fiction book because I'm a science fiction fan.
Me too, yeah.
That I read years ago. I won't say how long ago because it was certainly a longer ago than our young friend has been around who was up on the stage. But I wanted to hear it as an Audible book because I wanted something just to keep my mind busy. And it's a book by Frank Herbert. It's a
Dune.
Great thing called Dune.
It's a dramatization, isn't it?
It is. And it's one of the best, in my opinion, Audible books I've heard.
It's awesome.
It makes Dune come to life. So even if you've read Frank's work, if you've read the trilogy, whatever, if you're going to use your free MacBreak Weekly Audible pick, this might be one to apply to because I have to tell you, I can still hear it. It is that good. Yeah. Dune is a wonderful choice.
Yeah. Scott, would you like to clarify for those of us who are adult survivors of the Dune movie, seeing it as a kid?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. See, that's the only reason why I have not read those
Put
books.
Put that out of your mind.
That's got nothing to do with the book.
And it was
good.
Awful.
That's the best recommendation you can give.
But does it still have the big floaty guy in the tank?
No,
you don't get that?
Forget him. He's gone.
It is about the
What
spice.
About Linda Hunt? Is Linda Hunt
is
in
not
the
in this.
No, it is about the spice.
Sandstorm.
That's about it.
The spice. The spice is the creature.
Did you do that again, Merlin? That was good.
He's the creature.
Anyway, that's the pick.
I went to school with some Bene Gesserits.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a Catholic school.
They're tough. They're God's Marines.
They're tough, but they're fair.
Yeah.
And they'll just read your mind and just slap that.
So our Audible pick of the week is Dune. I highly agree with you.
That Frank Herbert.
Really well-done dramatization. Not just a straight read. It is one of 45,000 plus titles you can get at audible.com. And you can get it for free by going to audible.com/MacBreak. I know we've turned... How many of you have we turned on audiobooks from audible.com? Do you love them? Aren't they great? Isn't it? It's amazing. If you like podcasts, you will love audiobooks. It's a great way to pass time. Please keep listening to the podcasts, but you might want to add audiobooks to your repertoire. That is audible.com/MacBreak. All right. Any other business we want to take care of before we wrap this up? Alex Lindsay.
This is actually just a reminder for people here that we're doing more tomorrow.
There's lots more going on. In fact, if you're listening to this now, come to Mac World Expo tomorrow. We're going to be doing Twit at 2 p.m.
We're at Twit at 2 p.m. I think there's the we are doing more training about podcasting in the morning. So we're going to be talking about
lots
audio production and the first thing in the morning, like 10 a.m. So you have to kind of jiggle your head a little bit and then get there. And then at 11 o'clock till about 12:30, we'll be talking about video production. And then at 2 o'clock, we have Twit, and then we have something else right after that. So there's two more podcasts.
And don't forget that we've got a great conference. If you have a conference badge, Scott Bourne has put together an amazing conference.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear more Leo at 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in room 2014. Would you guys relax a
He's
little
taking
bit over
pictures
here?
Of Chris's hair from behind.
Okay.
And I don't think
this
I,
is. I. The thing is, I.
It looks like a betel nut.
You guys out there, I don't know if you can see how luxurious this is.
It's a textured kind of.
It looks like they might have to fortify the pen to keep this thing in.
Yeah, and it's, you know,
and Chris's hair grotto.
Yeah, no, I've got the Purell in the hair, so if afterwards you'd like to come up and touch it.
It's also antibiotic. That's excellent.
Yeah. Anyway, room 2014 from 9 to 5 tomorrow, all about podcasting. Leo is speaking with the keynote at 11. Also want to mention that all of you are welcome to follow Leo and I, who have to leave in just a minute because we're on stage over at Jillian's. 6 to 8 p.m., the Mac Podcaster Meetup. It's free if you got a badge
Please
of any
come.
Kind.
Oh, Patrick awesome. Norton's going to be there. He told me he's going to come by.
8 to midnight.
I will walk over with you.
8 to midnight.
Callie Lewis will be there.
So we got to go do that.
Is who going? Annie, would you come with us?
I will come with you.
If you're not going to watch your watch the Mikado, you could come with us.
Check on closer inspection. If you're familiar with the works of Gilbert and Sullivan, you'll find that, in fact, it is Ivan.
Guys, I'm on 93 minutes of sleep, but I will stop by there.
Uh-oh, that's good. That's
My name
how,
is Andy.
That's
you're
how
not
committed
going.
He is.
I watch an upper row.
Do you get new hats all the time, or is this just the same hat over and over again?
It's like Schroeder's bust of Beethoven. He's got 9 in the closet, so when one gets broken, he gets another one. I have about 7 or 8 of these in the
They're
closet.
All the same.
If I ever have to shop for another hat, it'll be 3 months out of my life. I'll never get back.
I want to thank very much Andy and Akko for coming by on 93 minutes of sleep. Did your game show go well?
Game show went well. We got rid of lots and lots of expensive
yes,
stuff.
Yes, I love it. You can catch them in the Chicago Sun-Times or in the Colossal Waste of Bandwidth, soon to become the brand new...
It's out, baby. It's the Celestial Waste of Bandwidth.
Yes! It's AndyAndAkko.com.
It's a mission from God now. It's not yes. wasting your time and the internet's resources is now a holy thing.
The Celestial Waste of Bandwidth. Thank you, Andy Anako. It's great to see you in person.
Always a slice.
Thanks to Alex Lindsay, who put this all together. Wouldn't be here without him. He did the podcast studio and the great PixelCore. He's a wonderful fella. PixelCore.com, PixelCore.tv for the podcasts.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. He's probably exhausted. Scott, you're just beginning your day because tomorrow we've got that whole day-long conference on podcasting. Scott Bourne is, of course, from Podango. He's the guy behind AppleFoneShow.com, the great Girls Gone Geek TV, and a lot of other wonderful podcasts. He's really the podcast king now, the daddy of podcasts. The Mac daddy, Chris Breen, the bouffant of all knowledge. There's a halo around his head, and it's his hair. He is a you catch him at Macworld Magazine. And, of course, look for him in bookstores everywhere. He's written some great books, including his newest iPhone. We've got two iPhone books here. That's great. One from Chris, one from Andy.
Yes, we do.
And finally, Merlin Mann from 43folders.com, who is a daddy in his own right with his new baby, Eleanor. Do you have pictures on the iPhone you can
share with
us?
Pictures on the iPhone. She came to my talk yesterday.
Oh, I heard that. Somebody said they saw her.
She slept a lot and pinched a loaf, but she looked pretty happy for most of it.
Was that before or after the loaf?
I think she might have made a couple.
All right. Hey, we thank you all for being here. We hope we'll see you online at twit.tv.
Thanks for coming.
Another Mac Break is broke. Bye-bye, everybody.